Our second scripture passage comes from John chapter 6. And this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It is one of the few that are in all four Gospels. I chose this version, though I'm going to refer to the others and some details there, but I like this one because it's got the personal account of where the five loaves and two fish come from in an unnamed little boy. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus looked and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for Jesus knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months of wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up from the fragments of the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten, and they filled 12 baskets. And when people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who's come into the world." And when Jesus realized they were about to come and make him king, he withdrew by himself. Friends, again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is an amazing story. And I want you to try and use your imagination. I think as we are looking at the account here, and as we're dealing with on Wednesdays, we look at sort of doing a detective work on the Bible. And to do that, I think as we're going to explore in that class, but as you can tell from my sermon style, the question of the Bible is not did it happen, but does it happen? In that sense of how does God work in the world? And that's really what we want to know. And so as we're thinking about how God works in the world and what Jesus' way is and what it means to be followers of Jesus or disciples, let's think about the people who are involved in this story. And first, there are the disciples. And so they're tired. We know that because text tells us they've been traveling and they were withdrawing to be by themselves. But the crowds, because of people being healed, because they have this hunger, they're following Jesus. And so that's a little bit frustrating when you go off to be by yourself and you're thinking the work for whatever this disciple role that you're doing is taking a little break, and you get your little Labor Day holiday being off with Jesus, and then all these people come. Jesus wasn't put out with the people. He saw the need. They had a spiritual hunger, and Jesus wanted to address that. So he taught them, and it was getting late in the day. And the disciples were aware they had a physical need. Those people are going to be hungry. And those people are going to be wondering what to do. And it was a long way to walk to get something to eat. And so they were getting a little bit anxious. The people were hungry. They're anxious. So essentially what happens is, in that anxiety, they were like, "Jesus, send those people away so that they can go and get something to eat." And Jesus, being Jesus, says, "Why don't you give them something to eat?" Okay. That's crazy. They know how much money they have. They know how big that crowd is. And they're going, "Yeah, that's just not going to happen, Jesus. We don't have that kind of money. It would be a month's worth of wages for all of us. And as you know, we don't have jobs since we left them to follow you. There's not the money." And Jesus doesn't quite take that. He says, "Well, what do you got? What do you have?" So they go around and they find that they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, okay, that'll be enough. And then he breaks it, gives thanks, and feeds 5,000 people. That's pretty miraculous. Now the tough part for us is that I think, you know, that's really wonderful that Jesus does that. Yay for Jesus. Kind of like walking on the water. That's really cool, but without a boat, a pair of skis, it's not happening for me. I've tried it a couple of times. Gravity just overtakes. So what do we do with it? Does it mean anything for us other than to go, yes, let's worship Jesus. Yes, let's believe that the miracles happen. But what does it even tell us about miracles? Is there a formula here that if you A, B, and C, you can take care of the needs of the world? The answer is going to be no. I've tried the formulas. They don't work that well. So what do we do? What's asked of us? First, I think it's to pay attention to the difference in mindset between the disciples and Jesus. The disciples have a scarcity mindset. And I understand the scarcity mindset. I grew up with a mother that lived in the age of the Depression. So she used her paper towels 2 or 3 times. She would use that paper towel, lay it out, let it dry. I didn't have training wheels on my bicycle because she said, well, you're not going to use them long. So the path we learned to ride a bike was bloody. Scarcity. There's not enough. That's the attitude of the disciples. There is not enough resources that we have to fix this problem. And that's a very mechanical, not an organic mindset, but a mechanical one. But it is scarcity. There's not enough. And so you have to get what you can. And so that's really rooted in anxiety. I thought I could make some money in the stock market, and I figured, well, I've got an education. I consider myself to be semi-intelligent, so you just figure it out. And what I figured out is you can't figure it out. If you want to know the emotional index of the United States, you look at the Dow Industrial Average, because it's really fear. Greed is basically fear. Oh no, I don't want to miss an opportunity, so let's get as much as we can, and that drives the price up. Or, oh no, I'm going to lose everything, and it drives the price down. It's just an emotional roller coaster. Forget the, return on investment, price for whatever, because it's an index of where the emotions are. What's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be terrible. The disciples are, there's not enough. We don't have enough. Thomas Malthus was an economist, and he said that there will never be enough supply to meet the demand. And in 1793, he said that really, without war, famine, disease, the number of people will outgrow the resources, and then the whole world will be hungry. So you just got to let those things go. The disciples did what we do. There's a terrible problem. There is no way of fixing it, so we separate ourselves from it. I got to tell you, you're paying me to be like Philip. Philip looked at the resources. We don't have the resources to meet the need. Jesus is not there. And to be very pragmatic in how we do church. Because if we were to just take care of homeless people, then I don't have a job, which, that has an effect on me. So that's my role to be Philip. But you have the freedom to really explore this faith and explore what Jesus' attitude was with this mindset of there's an abundance. That there really is plenty. And so the two ways to look at this, I think now we get to the boy, which I like the boy because he puts a person on this. The two ways of looking at this is the miraculous, and they're both miracles, that Jesus just miraculously takes whatever you give and it's enough. If you give what you have, Jesus will magnify it and it will be enough. And that's a great sermon. It's just not the one I'm preaching today. Whatever you have is enough. Now let's pay attention, because I've had people, the Presbyterians, they love their little offerings where you give and you collect change. And, oh, we're going to feed the world with our change. Jesus doesn't want your change. The boy gave 5 loaves and 2 fish because he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. The widow gave 2 mites because she had 2 mites. If you have more than two mites, you can't really compare yourself to the widow, because your pennies don't mean as much. But they gave it believing God could use it, that Jesus was going to do something. There is an adventurous mindset of that boy that says, all right, what you got? But I want us to pay attention to the question. Jesus asks, what do you have? And the disciples don't say, well, we've looked together, Lord, and here's what we have. They said, no, here's a boy over here, and he had it. They went and found some other little kid who was willing to give up his lunch to see what Jesus would do with it, and they said, here's what he has. Not what we have. That makes Presbyterians very nervous. For stewardship this season, we're going to have everybody bring in your W-2s and your bank statements. And oh, you thought I was kidding? Well, I am kidding. So, my mama didn't raise no dummy. At least not, But that's what he asked. What do you have? Well, there's a boy over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, here's where I think the miracle may be. And the reason I say this is because I've flown Southwest Airlines. Anybody ever flown Southwest Airlines? You ever walk on that plane and you're looking for a seat and everybody's doing this? Because if you make eye contact, they're going to sit with you. And if you want space, you just don't look at it. Or you go like this. That'll get you space. I've also been on a trip with like middle schoolers, and somebody said, hey, anybody got any gum? It's quiet. You know somebody's got gum. But they're not going to say, yeah, I got some gum. You want some gum? So imagine the disciples go, okay, Jesus wants everybody to get, Jesus has people sit down, which shows to me that Jesus understands the third world environment. I have been there, my family's been there in Haiti, and we're giving out food, and Haiti, I wasn't used to that kind of an environment. And so the swarm of people, and we were working out a better system, and we have to, because it got a little bit rambunctious. And they could be loud, and it's impatient, and it's, I thought, in South Carolina, if a bunch of people were that loud, there was going to be a fight. And Carrie is in the middle of there, bending over, dishing out food. Honestly, just to be confessing the whole thing, I picked up a rock and put it in my hand, and I'm watching. Because it's my job to watch for the crowd. But the more I watched, I realized they're just loud. And it wasn't an aggressive situation. It was aggressive, but it wasn't a violent situation. It was just trying to find their place in life. Now, there are other situations where it's not gone well. There's a missionary report from the 1940s to China where a missionary went and the people were starving, so he got them food, they got off the ship, they let everybody come, and several people died. It was like a soccer game in Ireland. And so because of that, everybody pressed in. And then he read this passage and he saw what Jesus did. Have everybody sit down. Jesus understands the crowd. When they're sitting down, they're not going to rush the front. There's a little order, but sitting down is also being calm. It's not letting scarcity and that fear of scarcity that if somebody's giving out food, there's not going to be enough. So this gets to how people work. Jesus understands how people work. So what I think may be the miracle is this. Jesus says, what do you have? Only one boy steps up. Now, he probably had a Jewish mother who said, okay, if you're going to go hear Jesus, you have to take your lunch. Happens in our house all the time. Not for school, whatever. I'll bet of 5,000 people, somebody else had a Jewish mother out there who sent them with a lunch. There were other people who had food. So when they said this, hey, we're going to try and feed everybody. Who's got something to share? Everybody went like, because that's what we do. There's not going to be enough. So make sure you get yours and then separate yourself from those who don't have. Because the feeling that charity is essentially, ooh, you're in a terrible place. Let me give you something and see if I feel better. And if I don't, I'll give you a little bit more. We're a church. We have this. There are people without houses. Let's build them a habitat out. You stay over there and we'll see if we don't feel okay about all that we have. That's what charity does. It just reduces the anxiety or the guilt about the have and have not. But that's not how Jesus was. It was the opportunity. So maybe what happened was Jesus said, okay, we're going to everybody get eight, got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he starts breaking, says, now let's pass it out. And there are a few people going, Jesus is trying to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves. That math doesn't work. But they want to make it work. So what they do is they go, hey, we've got some. Hey, you guys over here, we got plenty. Come over here and eat with us. Plenty. That's the attitude. There's plenty for us right here. I can't feed the 5,000, but I can help take care of those around me. I can't fix the problem, but I can help people have what they need for today. The daily bread. I don't want daily bread, I want pension. Daily bread. Making sure that those that you come in contact with have daily bread. So the real miracle might be that once people saw Jesus doing something ridiculous, they said, oh, we got to work to make that work. We got to share what we've got in order for this to work. And indeed. And when the disciples, I don't quite understand the picking up the scraps left over, but when the disciples picked up what was left over, it was more than they started with. Now that's either just a really cool thing that we can't duplicate, or it turns out that what the crowd had was far more than what was needed. They just had to get over the fear and see the person right beside them. And that's the ticket for changing the world. It's just seeing the person near you and crossing the distance between those you have separated yourself from. I understand this congregation used to do a meal for those living under I-75. That won't grow the church. At least, not as the institution. But if those have need, and we have food, man, the need's all there. And Jesus' way of changing the world is to follow the example of that crazy little boy who said, okay, what can you do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And who believed that Jesus could actually do something with it. My mother, toward the end of her life, had dementia. And so anybody who sent her a request in the mail, she would write him a check for $10. Which is good. She didn't give away $1,000. She just wrote a check for $10. And the crazy thing was, she believed that God could use $10 to make a difference. We think God needs more. And that's where our faith lies. God just wants us. God doesn't need us. God wants us. See, God wants to do the miraculous. And has already put life in motion. And if you want to see how miracles work, you just look at the miracle of life. Life, death, new life. That's how seeds work. That's how we work. You have to let go of what you thought it was going to be in order to receive what it can be. You have to let go of what you thought was a scarcity to see the abundance that God had. That's how life works. And you don't have to fix anything. Because it's not broken. It's just in need. Instead, it needs life, new life, life that grows exponentially. And whatever you have to bring and whatever you're willing to give, faith is the idea that God can use it to blow your mind. There's more than enough. A meal that I like is with my friend Bob and Terry Clement. When I was pastor in Nashville, I would always schedule. They're the best cooks I know. Came out of Jackson, Mississippi. Turnip greens, best turnip green in the world. And I would go over to their house, usually around lunchtime. Hey, you want something to eat? Well, you have enough? Oh, yeah. There's plenty. That's the world we live in. There's an abundance. There's plenty. Food, love, relationship, life, hope, possibility. There are in abundance. But generally we have to come like a little boy who wants adventure more than anything. Who will leap off a building and see if he can fly like Peter Pan, not this kid. You know about Peter Pan, but you get the idea. Or crazy old ladies who think God can take $10 and change the world. God loves that. It's not because God has to have it. It's just that God gets lonely and bored and wants the adventure. Kierkegaard said, our greatest sin is that we are bored. And we don't dare God enough and say, okay, God, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can you do with it? Let's go. That's something. And miracles will abound. They already abound. The question is, do you see it? The guy was asked and said, hey, why don't you pray so that the sun will come up? Nah, I pray so that when the sun comes up, I'll be awake to see it. That little boy was awake. He saw it. And you can bet his life was never the same. It grew exponentially. May we be in that number. Let us pray. God, help us to overcome the fear of scarcity and to go with the courage, but also the wisdom and perception of Jesus to see what might happen. Help us to find ways to help others sit and calm that anxiety. And just to connect with each person that you put before us, because that life is invaluable. And our lives are invaluable. And when we connect together, miracles will happen. So God, as we gather in this space, help us to remember how life works. To go out and continue to plant the seeds of our lives into this world so that we can see your kingdom all around us. For that's why we've come. That's why we've gathered. And that's why we pray as we were taught, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen and amen. Our hymn is They Will Know We Are Christians By Our Love. It's in your booklet hymnal on page 21. Let us stand and sing together.